We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is produced on, the land of the Cammeraygal people. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome back to the Oz Championship Corner, where every Tuesday for the next 2 months, we'll be diving into all the action from the most recent round of fixtures from Australia's newest and most exciting football competition, the Australian Championship. I'm your co-host, Nick Pagano, and my partner in crime, Adrian Arciulli, is unfortunately joining us remotely today, but that shouldn't change his interesting opinions on football. Today is going to be a very special episode. We have got so much cracking football to get into, but firstly, let's introduce our lovely guests. Joining us here from SBS Japanese is executive producer Yumi Oba.
Thanks for having me.
And for our football guest today, we have none other than the ex-Western Sydney Wanderers and current Marconi Stallions defender, Taz Mourdakoudas. Now, I'm so sorry for butchering that. Could you please tell me if I got that remotely right?
No, yeah, you're pretty spot on. I think in Greece, it would be Mourdakoudas. Would be the correct pronunciation, yeah. But you were pretty on the money there.
Yeah, don't think I have that role at the time, unfortunately. Whilst Taz is going to be a familiar name for you Wanderers and A-League fans at home, Yumi, on the other hand, and her amazing work she does for the SBS Japanese, I'm not sure might be. So Yumi, could you give us maybe a quick rundown of what you do and what your role is?
Yeah, so I'm an executive producer for SBS Japanese, and we have a Japanese radio 3 times a week here on SBS. I've been here for about 5 years, but previous to that, I've been working in media and I've loved football and I've been covering football for many years now. So this Australian Championship is so exciting. And I'm also a football mom. So from a different angle, I'm also very excited.
Oh, where do the young ones play?
At an NPL.
Oh.
Yes. So, he was in the Spirit, but he's moving on. But yeah, so this is where I've been living in the past decade.
Well, I mean, hopefully we'll see them one day on the screen, you know?
Maybe.
So before we take a dive into both of your views and experiences with Australian football, let's recap what happened with the results this weekend. So Adrian, could you take us away there?
Thanks, guys, and hello to you all. For those watching the Wolves and Heidelberg game of the weekend, can confirm I'm not in the office today for those reasons of an injury. If anyone saw my ridiculous and embarrassing dive trying to save the ball from hitting a camera. No, disappointed I can't be there today, but I'm here in spirit and I'm here to run us through all the results from what was a fascinating round two and kicked off all on Friday night at Leichhardt Oval with West Zarpia destroying Sydney United 4-0. And Marconi saw Zarpia's result and said, well, hold my football. They went on to defeat South Hobart 4-0, getting their first win of the competition. Heidelberg, unbelievable. No stopping them. 3-0 win over Wollongong Wolves, and they make it 2 wins from 2, the Australia Cup runners-up. Well, Sunday, just so exciting. Broadmeadow, they pulled off some magic of their own, so you could say, fending off a late surge from Sydney Olympic to win 3-2 at Jubilee Stadium. Canberra, Croatia, what a story this was. 3-2, beating Foundation Club Preston Lions. An absolute cracker at Deakin Stadium. Make sure you check out the highlights. Amazing scenes there. Bayswater City pulled off a defensive masterclass to keep Metro Stars at bay. Well, South Melbourne, what a stunning strike to win that game. It was the win 2-0 at Lakeside Stadium, making it 2 wins from 2 also. And we heard about the NWS Spirit before from Yumi, and what a game that was. They were down 2-0 against Avondale, came back to take a 3-2 lead, and then only for Avondale to pinch it at the end in a 3-3 draw. But obviously, we've got Tassie from the Stallions. Firstly, congratulations on that 4-0 win on Saturday. How important was it to get the confidence levels? You were really unlucky in that opening game against Heidelberg not to snatch a point, but to come back home in front of a crowd of just over 2,000 and to win so convincingly. How did that feel?
Thank you, Adrian. A great roundup of this round's Oz Championship fixtures. Really exciting. You know, really happy to be a part of both games so far. It's been incredible. Really well run. And the coverage from SBS has been brilliant. I didn't get paid to say that. Yeah, honestly, it was a great result for us. Of course, 4-0, you can't, you know, how much better can you ask of the boys of the group than that result? And, like you mentioned, I think against Heidelberg, we were at times unlucky, some things we're going to look back on and wish to improve on, maybe chances we could have taken or defensive sort of lapses, which kind of led to them getting more opportunities and things like that. But we're building and, you know, we have, you know, a lot of confidence and a lot of intent to kick on.
It is great to have you in here, obviously, not just for your expertise on football, but as a defender as well. Two of the major talking points from this Oz Championship weekend has to be the two defensive headliners with the South Melbourne red card, the first red card of the Australian Championship, and then also the Bruno Fornaroli penalty shout in the Avondale NWS Spirit Games. We'll first start with the red card because I feel like that's got a bit more to it. So talk us through, you know, having seen it now, I guess. Yeah, what did you make of that? Did you think it was fair, harsh?
Look, referees, I wouldn't want to do their job, and it's not always, you know, so plain and simple, but definitely both of them were really questionable sort of calls in the game, game changes. Bruno kind of going over, I think, a little bit easy like that. He's a strong guy. I've played against Bruno Fornaroli. He's a strong boy. And, you know, it was maybe a little bit soft in my opinion.
Could we say the wind was just strong at Christie Park?
Potentially. Yeah. He just got blown right over.
Yeah, really
right?
Strong wind.
And then the red card for South Melbourne, you know, watching it back, I think, you know, there was a bit of a scuffle beforehand and then there was a bit of intent and a little bit of afters, and it's one thing shielding the ball out maybe for a throw and it's another thing kind of jamming a little elbow in there too. So, yeah, controversial, but there was many controversial decisions that either went or didn't go at the weekend, yep. I think. More to talk about for sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely round back to those as well. But Yumi, as you said, you've got one boy that plays in the Spirit Academy and you watch the game. What did you take away from that?
It's just surreal to see this home ground that I've always been there weekly to turn into a special place with so much energy and excitement. And to see it then on SBS with a commentary, it just gives me goosebumps. And Spirit does have a Japanese player, so every time I hear Ofuka's name being mentioned in a commentary, I just feel so excited. And yeah, this is how I've been feeling since round one. Every match, you know, you hear a Japanese name, and as someone who's been following the Japanese football community here in Sydney, it just makes me feel really proud.
To touch on that as well, like, what is your relationship with Australian football specifically? What does it mean to you?
For me, football just brings everyone together. I came here in 1989, so a while ago, and I came here with zero English and I have to, you know, find my way around. But things like soccer and any other sport, you can interact with other people without the language. It was my way of getting through and, you know, settling here in Australia. And I guess when Japan became part of the Asian Federation, there was so much more football exchange between Japan and Australia. And I remember seeing all the J-League team coming here during the off-season and practicing against Aussie teams. And I went to all of that and I loved it. Yeah. And it was a very special moment that I still remember. And I know that's why I love football so much. I've never played football myself, but I love watching it.
If you did, what position would you be playing?
Oh, I would be a midfielder.
Midfielder. Ooh,
I'm not fast enough to be a striker. Yeah. But I'm not big enough to be a defender.
All action. It's all action.
Yeah. Yeah,
a bit of a Takefusa Kubo in your midfielder.
Yeah.
Tass, what have your experiences been like playing with and against Japanese players? Obviously, Yua Kubo was a great player for Spirit in the New South Wales NPL this year before getting a big transfer overseas. And in week one of the championship, four players, Japan found the back of the net. Obviously, you played with one as well, Mark Burney Tass, but how much do they bring to the competition and Australian football as a whole?
One thing that I can say for all of them, and I've been really lucky enough to play with some excellent, incredible players, is the level of respect that they give and provide for a locker room, for the coaching staff, for everything, the environment that they so seamlessly kind of fit into is an incredible part of kind of any player that comes. You just almost expect it now from them. You don't expect them to not act so respectful, so understanding, selfless. They do the running for others, you know. So, and I played against Yua Kubo, who you mentioned earlier, this season at Spirit, and he killed us.
I was going to say, you must be at least a little bit happy that he's not going to worry for you.
I was quite relieved when I heard that he got his move over to Hong Kong. And Afuka as well, who you mentioned, is had an incredible year. And I think those two in particular, Spirit were great all around the park. Don't get me wrong, you don't win a championship if you know your whole 11 aren't strong. But those two were really shining lights in that front line, and I think won them a lot of games almost single-handedly at times. So...
Yeah, well, I was imagining you pulling off some of those tackles that we saw in the Bayswater game to stop that man up front. And speaking of some of those tackles, you mentioned those are controversial. So there were some more controversial referee decisions and defending, shall we say. And what did you make of those two tackles in the Bayswater City game?
Look, it's as much as you want to see, and Australia were quite well known for the physical game and that aspect of our football, really important that you know, we don't get past that kind of fine line of being real reckless. It can really change kind of the look of our game. And I think those tackles, it's NPL football, right, Nick? Like, you know, they're gonna fly in from time to time. Yeah. Blew me away that they weren't red cards, like, to be honest. But you know, that's not for me to make the decision. You know, in an ideal world, I am happy to see them get let go, but I think those ones are a little bit past, maybe over the line.
Yeah, I was wondering if you are, you know, with the lack of VAR in this league, maybe you'll be thinking you can get away with a bit more at the back as well.
Yeah, potentially.
Yumi, there's been a lot of talk about this competition to build on what we were talking about earlier with the Japanese players, but it's not just about the ethnic club, well, platform this competition gives to all different kinds of players from different countries. And obviously having such Japanese influence in this competition, just how welcoming does it feel for the Japanese community? Obviously a football mad country, but there's an even more so show the impression that stretches beyond just the return of these clubs which have strong ties to so many different multicultural communities.
Oh, absolutely, because these players are so connected to the Japanese community. I mean, many of them would be coaching at a Japanese academy, or they work at a Japanese restaurant, for example. So when they play at this game, they bring the community together. You know, we might not have a foundation club here in Australia, but they do have a very strong connected network of people from young to old. And this is how many of the Japanese players are actually coming into Australia, because they're relying on this very established community.
Actually, on that, who would be your favourite Japanese player? Because we've had, obviously, the legendary Shinji Ono at Wanderers, but, you know, we've seen a lot of Japanese players making waves across Europe. It was Mai Yoshida and Kazuki Honda were the players that I can remember from the past. And just currently, you've got Minamino and Kubo, who are balling over in Europe. But has any player ever really stuck out to you?
For me personally, Shinji Ono got to be the top for a few reasons. And firstly, for his genius, talent, you know, of course. But the other thing is that Australian football revived his career. And I love that because prior to his 2-year stint at the Wanderers, he was barely getting game time in J-League. And there were whispers about him retiring. But once he came here, he completely revived his career. We've seen big picture of Shinji in the stadium and people wearing Shinji Ono uniforms. And we as a community, we went to every single game. I went to every single game. I even flew to Brisbane for the finals. And yeah, after he returned to Japan, he was still in that same level. So it just really put Australia on the map in terms of Japanese footballers, as this is a place where there is opportunity. And I think after Shinji, so many more players came into the A-League, and as well as NPL, and I think he really paved the way.
How important is having these figures that, you know, the young Japanese community can look up to within the footballing world? Like you mentioned how Shinji Ono, you guys were travelling to Brisbane, obviously, to watch him play. Like, how important is that, you know, having, as I've mentioned, kids playing football as well in Australia?
It's great to have a representation out there because, you know, unlike the Greek community or the Italian community, we don't have a long history here. But to have these people, you know, representing at the top level of football and being promoted all over, it just makes us really proud and feel like we're really part of this country.
Yeah.
Cass, what do you think it brings to the competition as a whole, not just the Japanese players, but just the whole international flavour as well, because you've obviously come through the ranks, played at the A-League, you've had the chance to come through the system per se. What does this competition provide, not only for Australian players, international players as well, not just Japanese sort of imports we have playing in this competition?
Yeah, look, football for me and in my upbringing, I used to watch SBS when I was young, and Les Murray and Craig Foster on the TV when I was a boy, and it's always been the world game. It is the world game, and there's so many different flavours, like you mentioned, and aspects of different players coming in and providing their own sort of idea of what football is to them or what they've learnt through their development in their own countries. And that's incredible, the multiculturalness of, like, you know, a dressing room. You pick up so much, you learn so much from different people, not just football, but off the field too. And I've been so privileged to play with so many different incredible players, like we mentioned, Japanese players too, at a very high level. And I saw the influence that Shinji Ono had. At my time at Wanderers, I didn't get to play with him at the time, he was before me, but the name that just stuck through, like, my whole time there, it was just this legend of a player. And not many people get the opportunity to have that influence on an environment, which is, it's like what you would ask for as a young player, like growing up and coming through. He got to do it at an older age. Yeah, it's special, not only for NPL, but for the A-League. And I think some of the best players that have come through the A-League in my time, especially since I've been alive or watching it, have been the foreign players. So, yeah, hugely important and hugely successful.
Let's do our SBS moment of the week now, where we pick a moment which is either significant, bizarre, or just downright sexy from the most recent round of the Australian Championship. Now, I'm not going to go first because, Nick, you're going to stitch me up here, and I've had enough stitch up over this one moment. And I'm a humble man, but you're going to stitch me up again here. Go away.
Well, it's a stretch, like your save on that was caught on camera, luckily. But I guess your Sunday League experience as a goalkeeper has come in handy and saved SBS a fair amount of money. Because what was the game, sideline game you were covering? What was that one?
Covering the Wolves versus Heidelberg. The camera is actually worth $16,000. The camera operator had no inkling of what was about to happen. I've been dropping criticism for not catching the ball, when for me it was just that by burning it from the camera and turning it around the post. Now, Taz, I'm not sure if you saw it, mate, but if you could just give me a review, that'd be fantastic, just for my future employment.
Adrian, I did see it. You know, I've just tried to pick my jaw up off the floor after what I saw. And mate, to be honest, there is probably a spot going for you at Marconi if the interest is there. I'm sure I could pull a few strings. But honestly, like, you know, full credit to you. You just, the cat-like reaction was just, you know, no one was expecting it. I think that's what I'm going to say. And, you know, you pulled off a miracle. So fair play. That was a sexy moment, I would say.
Oh, no, that was great. And I'll pass over to you, Taz, now. What was your moment? I'm sure that your teammate, Tekenis's hat trick might be in memory, but was there anything else that sticks out to you?
Yeah, definitely. That was a clearly significant feature of this weekend. My teammate, Damien, he's excellent hat trick, you know, he's popped up when we needed to.
How important has it been having him back in the fold after being out for so long and having this instant of an impact?
Yeah, it's been incredible. Like, he's a, you know, he obviously had a major setback in his short career. You know, even just the mental fortitude, let alone keeping your body right and able to kind of step back into a high level competitive football and perform the way he has this season, I think is really admirable. So I'm really, yeah, I'm proud of him, to be honest, because it's not easy.
Yeah, because there's definitely obviously the physical side that people think about, but you don't think of the mental side of just being out of the game for so long and not reading it the same way that you used to anymore.
Absolutely.
And Yumi, what was your moment? What category are you picking?
Mine would be the significant, and it has to be the Michael Konostabo's volley against Avondale. That turned the whole entire game round.
Oh. That might have been the cleanest strike of a ball I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, to come back from 2-0 down to, it ultimately was 3-3.
Yeah.
But it
started the comeback.
It started the comeback.
Yeah.
And you can see the whole energy swap around as well. Yeah. And it was just the most exciting game to watch.
You just, and especially because it was the penalty at the end of the first half and then 30 seconds into the second, they get the second. So you think that Spirit are just down and out. And then out of nowhere, the volley. And then you just almost saw the crowd go, oh my God, we've got a game. We've got a game on. And I mean, for me, that's probably the game of the season so far. I can't. And it's going to be tough to beat that with how good the goals were as well. But yeah, that's an unbelievable moment to pick up on. Yeah, and I think we'll end off with you, Adrian. I've already taken your moment away from you, I guess, the spotlight off. So who are you going to shine yours on?
Okay, so I'm just going to totally ignore my moment of embarrassment, but my moment is sexy, and I'm going with Manny Agwek's long-range goal for South Melbourne. What an unbelievable strike that was. What about the quality of goals we've seen so far, especially those from long range in the first two rounds of the Australian Championship? And huge shout out to South Melbourne, another strong crowd once again, 6,000 in round one, another 3,500 in round two. They're really setting the standard, I feel, on and off the field. Now, tell you what, they're 2-2. Heidelberg can't go past them as well. 2-2. It sets up a massive match, Tass, this weekend. You against the Wollongong Wolves. Marconi, I tell you what, it's a big clash into who decides who really gets out of Group B, because Heidelberg, if they beat South Hobart, well, they're pretty much through when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. I think we go into it with amazing, you know, momentum after this result, I think. You know, four goals, it kind of brings a lot of confidence through the side, especially our forwards after not getting a goal in Melbourne against Heidelberg. So it's a massive game, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's always a battle against Wollongong, and I'm sure this weekend will be no different.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember that unreal backheel against Western United a couple of years ago when you were at Wanderers, and I guess we know you've got it in your locker. You've done it. Do you see yourself pulling that something else like that out? Either this weekend and later on, or do you think you've got more of a volley in you, long shot?
I hope so. If I keep watching that Connor Starbo clip, I might be able to try replicate that this time around. But yeah, that was something really off the cuff, to be honest. We didn't even work on it at the time, and I think that put the steps in place to potentially dissolve Western United as a club overall, to be honest.
So the domino impact, you heard it here first. Taz, the smallest domino has knocked over Western United. And Yumi, you know, we've already seen so many Japanese players featuring prominently, playing really well, especially at Spirit, and you know, scoring goals. But if there was a player that had to score, Japanese player that had to score for in the Oz Championship this round, who is your pick for it?
I would say South Melbourne's Yuki Uchida. He scored in the first round, and in the second round, he hit a crossbar, but it was a very good shot as well. So, yeah, I'm putting my money on him for this.
Yeah, and they're not shy for goals as well.
No, they're not.
And I'm looking forward to being at Defensive Park for the Sydney United versus Baseball game. And my rallying call is the Sydney United, because I'd love to see a good crowd out there. I was pretty disappointed with that opening round crowd against it, and I want to see it all at the Sydney United Sports Centre, at the King Tom Club, people piling in. I'll be there working the sideline of the 3 o'clock game. So I'd love to see that. That's what I'm looking for.
I think what we should do is, Adrian, is any of your sideline matches that you're on there, we should have like a little goalkeeping clinic from you there. That, I think that's going to start getting the fans around it, you know. We can just take shots at you.
I'm actually going to take my gloves.
Yeah, you shouldn't have goals anymore. We should just have, if you hit Adrian on the head, that's the win right there.
Free chavappies in the King Tom Club after, perhaps. Could be the incentive they need.
I think that's free screen for anyone who can take me out this weekend or moving forward.
Well, that is all the time we have for today's episode. If the first 2 weeks are anything to go off of, round three should be super, super tasty indeed. Please remember that we have our Super Saturday live and free on the main channel, with all games streamed live via On Demand. We'll be back here same time next week, and if you aren't subscribed or following us yet, you need to get on that now. Like, that's just crazy if you're not. With how crazy this league has been so far, you will not be wanting to miss a single second of action. But from myself, Adrian, our amazing guests that have joined us here, and from all of us here at SBS, sorry, I need a second, I've just been waiting so long to say this. This has been a really big moment for me. It's
bye for now.
God damn it, man. My one shot. My one shot at this. Bye for now.